I want to turn, if we may, please, if you have your Bible, or maybe you have your Bible and would much rather I just read the scripture. But if you have your Bible and care to turn with me, I want to read first in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17, please. I would like to commence reading verse 28. Likewise, said the Lord Jesus, likewise, also as it was in the days long, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men, one in one bed, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the pill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. May the Lord just add his blessing for the reading of his own precious word. I think we ought to sing that chorus again, sir. I know you've sort of lowered the piano down, but I think we ought to. Thank you. You know they go on strike every night, don't they? You know, just about this time, they say, well, that's it. I'll reduce their wages, you know. You get nothing now. I don't know what I give them then. But there we are. Thank you, everyone. The little children's chorus that we sang last evening, and I'd like us to sing it again. A simple chorus. Little children's chorus we've been singing away in England. You've been singing a few American choruses, so let's sing ours, shall we? If you're black, or if you're white, or if you're fat, or lean, God loves you. If you're short, or if you're tall, or if you're in between, God loves you. Come on, let's see how well you remember the word. If you're black, or if you're white, or if you're... Can't hear you. Look at me now, that'll remind you. Fat or lean, God loves you. If you're... Or if you're... Or if you're... God loves you. He loves you when you're... He loves you when you're... He loves you when you're feeling... He loves you when you're... No matter what you... No matter what you... God loves you. He really loves you. Well, you've got the word. Oh, come on. If you don't know the tune, sing la 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 with help us out now. If you're black or if you're white. Away we go. If you're black or if you're white or if you're fat or lean, God loves you. If you're short or if you're tall or if you're in between, God loves you. He loves you when you're happy. He loves you when you're sad. He loves you when you're beautiful. He loves you when you're bad. No matter what you look like, no matter what you look like. must believe in God. You know that one, man. Hands up those who couldn't have sung a bit better if you tried. You put all one. Oh, my brother, friend, brother Jim down there. He mostly sits and doesn't sing at all. You know, Mrs. Jim, you're improving him. You really are. Come on then, you're ready, everyone. If you're black, or if you're white, for the last time. If you're black, or if you're white, or if you're Catholic. Love you. You ready? If you're black, or if loved us more than you did, and you couldn't have shown it in a better way than you did. We ask tonight that once again we think of that which is before, that we might realize that you still care for us, you still love, as you may know, by salvation. That's the thing we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. As you know, the general theme of the services has been facing the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And from many different avenues and in many different ways, we have considered the great truth that the Bible teaches that Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. Now, of course, immediately people ask this question. It's the question that I try to deal with a little last evening. If Jesus Christ is coming back again, when is he coming back again? And I don't believe that that question is just idle curiosity. I believe it's a question that every one of us would like an answer to. So let me say here and now tonight, but I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back again. But I tell you this, I so want to live my life that if he came back at this moment, I would welcome him. I would be pleased to say, Lord, I'm glad to see you. The tragedy is that most of us would have a feeling that we would like to run and hide if we knew that the Lord was coming back. But while I don't know the day, I don't know the hour when Jesus Christ comes back, there are given to us in the Word of God certain signs that are extremely interesting. Tonight, we have read one of them. The Lord Jesus said that when he returns in great power and glory, and please let me remind you that the rapture will precede that by at least 7 years. But when the Lord returns in great power and glory, he will find in this sea the very thing he saw in the days of Lot. For we read together from that 17th chapter of Luke, likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all, even us. Again, I did not say this. The Lord Jesus said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. And so we have before the tremendous story that links the Old Testament with the New. It links the statement of God to his great friend Abraham with the statement of God to his church today. And I have a feeling that all of us find it extremely interesting to ponder again the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, to see how in the day in which we live, the very things that happened then seem to be lifting their heads again. Things that have not been prevalent in the world at large, but things which are becoming very prevalent, especially in what we call the lands of the West, the dead. The Lord Jesus said this, remember, whatever else you forget, remember, oh, remember Lot's voice. It is interesting, is it not, that there are only two women that the Lord Jesus told us to remember. As a matter of fact, he didn't tell us to remember as many men as he told us to remember women, and he only told us to remember two women. He dared to say, I want you to remember Lot's wife, but I want you to remember a New Testament woman as well. I want you to remember a sinner, but I want you to remember a saint. And he tells the story, or permits the story to be told, of a woman that came and anointed the Lord with ointment out of her alabaster box. She poured it upon him against the day of his burial. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, that story must be remembered. That story must be preached. Is this significant that God asked us to remember two women of such opposite characters? One who had a link with Jesus Christ. One who had a chance for the link with him, but turned her back on him. Remember, and it is the first one from the Old Testament that I want to talk with you about tonight. I want to say my usual three things, if I may. As I look at the story of the 19th chapter of Genesis, it seems to me, first of all, and you will permit me, please, to use an English colloquialism, and it may sound harsh, but I want to use it because it is harsh. I want to remind you, first of all, of a stupid woman. Oh, please, I would seek to be courteous, especially to you ladies. But I do not feel I can use any other word but that word tonight. When Jesus Christ said, remember a Lot's wife, he dared ask us to remember a woman who was a stupid woman when you said all you've got to say. Although the word may seem ugly, the deed that she did was uglier. Then I want you to remember not only the story of a stupid woman, but I want you to remember the story of a sure word. It seemed utterly ridiculous to Lot. It seemed utterly ridiculous to Lot's wife. It was more than ridiculous to Lot's son, to Lot's son-in-law. I only know this, that God said he was going to pour
fire and brimstone out of heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And you can almost hear them say, in your Americanism,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
What a thing to say, that God was going to do something that no one had ever seen done anywhere else. He was going to pour down upon this nation fire and brimstone. But it was a sure word. And may I please remind you, it is a sure word not only because it happened then, but because in our day and generation, it is being proved that it happened. Okay, if archaeologists have never discovered what they have discovered, I want you to understand that I would have believed the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because God said it, and the Lord Jesus supported it. But it thrilled my heart, I must admit, when I find that the greatest of modern scientific minds, when I find men like Dr. Weizmann, has gone yonder to the great country where this happened, and has found abundant proof, as we will see in a moment, that the word was sure that it did happen as the Bible says it would happen. And I want to remind you, not only of a stupid woman, I want to remind you not only of a sure word, and I want to remind you of a serious warning. That as it was in the days of Lot, so it shall be. Oh, what a serious warning. First of all then, may I say a word or two about this lady that I have dared to call a stupid woman. There are a number of things that stand out so clearly to any man or woman that will read the 19th of Genesis. The first thing that stands out so clearly is this, that here was a woman who heard the word of the Lord. She was without excuse. God spoke to her husband, God spoke to her, God sent into this scene two angelic beings that they might hasten them out of the city. She heard the word of the Lord. The second thing I want to say about her was she not only heard the word of the Lord, but she hearkened to the word of the Lord. Oh no, she was not like her son-in-law. She did not listen to her husband, and then it was recorded of her that he sounded as one who mocked. That's what was said about his son-in-law. They thought that father had gone round the bend. That father, somehow or the other, had become a little bit deranged. Tragedy coming to us in this city and telling us to escape for our life. What a ridiculous thing to say. She was not like that. She heard the word of the Lord. And with her husband, she actually left the city. She actually fled from the city. But she was a stupid woman, not because she heard the word of the Lord, and not because she hearkened to the word of the Lord, but she was a stupid woman because she hesitated at the word of the Lord. And she looked back. The Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. First of all, she heard the word of the Lord. Now, my friend, I don't want to spend time because I do not find it pleasant at all. I do not want to spend time in reminding you of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. I am speaking to an adult audience. But there are boys and girls here, and so I must watch what I said. I only remind you that the city of Sodom has given to our modern language the vilest, filthiest, wickedest word that is possible for a human being to take upon his lips. So wretched and vile was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah that one shudders even to mention. But my heart is moved. I am not an emotional man, as all of you know. But I confess this to you, that when I read the 19th chapter of Genesis and I look around this world of ours today, a great lump comes into my throat. I wouldn't say here as an Englishman, I never thought in my own country that the day would ever dawn when an act of Parliament would be passed that legalized homosexuality. And I come to your country and I find exactly the same that happened here. We had a program on our television at home just 3 months ago. I don't look at the television very much. I don't have time. And when I look at it, I get a bit disgusted and want to turn it off anyway. But this program was what we called Wacker's World. We have a man by the name of Wacker who tours the world and gives us something of what he finds in different parts of the world. And he was giving us a description of San Francisco. And there upon the very film, upon the very television of our street, it showed us the wickedness of that city. It showed areas that once had been poverty areas, once had been dark areas, once had been absolutely run down promise areas that were being bought up. And they were being bought up by those that were practicing homosexuality. They were being bought up that men might live in sin. And the whole area, there we saw on our own television screens, as you saw, no doubt. And I suddenly remember that God said that as in the days of Lot, as men stood outside of Lot's house and tried to break down the doors and cried to Lot, give us those men that we may do what we will with them. So did that. Oh, man, your forgiveness. I'm sorry to talk like this. Too ugly. But you know and I know that this is what is happening in our Western world today. God dares to say in words of judgment that what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah will happen to this world one day. But he gives the words of warning. He dares send to angelic beings to Lot and say to Lot, Lot, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, tarry not in the plain. Escape to the mountain that thou might not be consumed. And here was a woman that laughed and listened for the message that these men brought to her husband and to her. Escape to the mountain. Oh, please, I'm not going to allow my imagination to run with me. I'm not going to suggest to you that that mountain speaks of Calvary Hill. I'm not going to suggest to you that there is another mountain where God in His grace gave His Son to die for our sins. But I am going to ask you this. If it doesn't speak of that, what does it speak of? Oh, my fellow travelers to eternity. Isn't it wonderful that while God hath issued a word of warning against that which is vile and wretched, He offers also a word of counsel to every one of us. He dares to say, whoever we may be, there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open, and all may go in. A Calvary's only way to begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus, he tells us that there's mercy with the Lord, that he might be here. He heard the word of the Lord. Have you heard the word of the Lord? If there is one thing I am free persuaded of, it is this, that during the past evening, the people I've been speaking to are people who mainly go to a church. They mainly go away to a church building and listen to the word of God, and you are familiar with these things. You know that God has said to you, escape for thy life. I said she not only heard the word, she hearkened to the word. In fellowship with her husband, she left Sodom, she left her home, she left part of her family, for they only took two daughters with them. I only know this, that as they wended their way out of Sodom and Gomorrah, she was hearkening, she was saying, Lord, you said I'm going. How many men and women have I met like that, even in these last verses? Men and women have taken the first step, as it were. You said to yourself, I ought to trust Christ. I ought to yield my life to him. I'm coming back again. I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to listen to what God has to say. You hearken to the word. But oh, my friend, just hearkening isn't enough. Just hearkening isn't enough. God wants you and I to completely obey him. For this, pardon the word again, but I must use it. This stupid woman, she heard, she hearkened, but oh, she hesitated. She hesitated. Though angelic beings came in the form of men, and took her by the hand to lead her out. Tell me, my friend, how many angels have come to you? Oh, I know this, that if suddenly there appeared to you an angel like the picture we often see of angels, you would be like me. You would be most afraid. Oh, if I was to see an angel like that, my knees would knock. I got a feeling, I say, oh, mercy. Oh, dear. Oh, I think I would. But I want to say this to you. I've had many an angel lay his hand upon me. Many an angel. Dare I suggest this? Some of you were here on Sunday when I gave my testimony. Dare I suggest it, when first I heard the gospel and saw a little Salvation Army lackey standing in front of a crowd of drinking men in a pub, singing the old rugged cross. Dare I suggest to you that an angel came that day and said to me, escape for thy life. Tomorrow evening, would you like to know how many hours? My wife's arriving. Oh, I sometimes called her an angel, but, we had all sorts of angels. But there we are. I know this. That when that girl stopped me in the road and gave me a tract and got me to go into the tent where I was converted, an angel came and laid his hand on me. I'm speaking to men and women here tonight. Maybe a godly mother. Maybe a godly wife. Maybe a godly husband, a son came in and said, Mom, I trusted the Lord, but I did to my own mother. An angel came. But, and said to you, hasten out of the city, escape for thy life, the judgment of God is real. Some of you heard the song. Some of you heard a sermon. Some of you heard a prayer, and your heart was touched, and you couldn't give a reason for it. You couldn't stand in front of me and give me a good reason why you knew that was an angel speaking to you. Somehow or the other, God spoke to you that day. Maybe to a song, maybe to a sermon, maybe to a prayer. You heard God say, "Take for my life." Tragedy was this. The woman that heard and the woman that hearkened was the woman that hesitated. She turned back. Oh, I can understand her. Please, I can understand her. I don't want to stand here and just be critical of her. Her home was there. She had children there. But she thought more of her home and more of her children and more of the streets in which she'd lived and more of the shops in which she had traded. And she called from the dog and said, "Escape to thy life." I wonder how many in the service tonight are like that. Is the Bible just an old-fashioned story? Or is it not true that there are men and women today who think more of their home than of God? More of their business than of God? Time for pleasure, time for business. But for Christ was crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Oh, my fellow traveler to eternity! This is the story of the 19th of Genesis, but Jesus says it's the story of our day. As in the days of Lot, so shall it be. We think together.
Words. I always had a moment to a girl and my little partner. That it's modern science that's never been able to prove that what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah did happen, I would still believe it happened. I'd rather believe God than anyone. I have listened so frequently for some of the things that men have said. And I often look at them and say this in my friend. I'd rather believe the miraculous than the ridiculous. When I read the Bible, and then suddenly I find that modern scientists have discovered these things of the earth. Oh, how my heart rejoices. Dr. Weizmann is the head of Egyptian studies in the great British Museum. Some years ago, he went away with a party of archaeologists to examine what they knew to be the area where Sodom and Gomorrah was found. He came back with evidence that every university in the world except. They do not come to the same conclusions necessarily that he came to. But they accept his evidence because they can do nothing but. But with a party of British and American archaeologists, they searched the area which we know as Sodom and Gomorrah. And suddenly he found that Sodom and Gomorrah had been built over an oil well. Now there's no need for me to remind you that that is the very center of the oil fields of the world, and most of the economic trouble today arises from those oil fields, not yesterday, but today. But not only did he find that Sodom and Gomorrah had been built over an oil well, but he found that the oil well had been completely burned out. Completely burned out. And there was the evidence not only of oil being there, but burnt oil being there. They not only found that Sodom and Gomorrah had been built over a burnt oil well, but they found that in that area there was indeed a strata of soil, of earth, of stone, where there were pools. In other words, there was abundant evidence that there had been and there could yet be an earthquake in that particular part of the world. And then they found something more. They found that in that area, all around the area, for some 100 miles, there lies indeed a layer of salt rock. Now please, I am not suggesting this is what happened. This is the conclusion that Dr. Wiseman came to, the head of his department in the British Museum, the greatest man in his field in the British Empire. He came to the conclusion that there was an earthquake. That earthquake engulfed the cities of the plain. They were engulfed, they were swallowed up, the Bible says. That earthquake engulfed the cities of the plain. The outcome of the earthquake was somewhat similar to what you have seen and read of in your own country in the last few days. Few weeks, maybe, I would say. The outcome of that earthquake was, first of all, that the pressure of the earthquake reacted upon the oil field. The oil field floated, attacking the soil as though a drill had gone through to pump a well or to make a well, and up from the earth there came the oil which is noted. The Bible says God fire sent down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Dr. Wiseman came to the conclusion that just there in your eruption on the west coast, just days ago, so there came out of the earth this strata of salt rock. And being salt rock, it would immediately break into dust. And just as houses and people have been covered in dust during these past days in the West Coast, so the woman that refused to run to the place of safety was covered with salt, and she became a pillar of salt. Please, those are the conclusions of one of the leading scientists in the world today. I have not the academic knowledge to come to those conclusions. This is the conclusion I come to. That God rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah fire and brimstone out of heaven. That Lot's wife turned and became a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. I only know that that which in my youth was laughed upon as being utterly ridiculous is accepted in every case of learning today. A sure word, friend, if that word was sure and seemed to be true, does it not add certainty to the word that Jesus used? As in the days of Lot, so it shall be. I see indeed the social happening in the days of Lot. We read that here were people that ate, that drank, that bought, that sold, that planted, that tilled. In other words, They did the facts and the things that men and women are doing today, the ordinary things of life. But with them there was a dark tragedy of loyalty. I look around the world today and thank God it's not everyone that's living in vile things. Thank God that's true. But let's remember there are some who are. But Jesus says it's not everyone who's going to be like that. It's going to be as in the days of Lot, when there are those that do the ordinary things. They eat and they drink, they buy and they sell, they steal and they plot. In other words, they expect everything to carry on just the same as it was yesterday. Isn't that what people are doing today? And Jesus said, that's the thought of my return. But if there was a stupid woman, and if there was a sore word, please, there's a serious one. Remember what happened to the woman who heard and hearkened but who hesitated. Remember Lot's wife. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus said that? Sir, I could understand if Jesus had said, remember Lot. Remember Lot. Remember the man who did escape despite his sins. I could understand that. But he didn't say that. He said, you remember the person that could have escaped, didn't he? Don't you be like her. Then please, if I'm going to listen to this serious warning, if I'm going to remember her, then surely, surely, the very use of the word tells me that I ought to do something. Remembering Lot's voice doesn't just make me bow my head and say, oh, what a foolish woman. What a stupid woman. Remembering what Lot's voice to me makes me say this, I don't want to do the thing she did. I don't want to be found like she was found at the end, away from the presence of God. So what must I do? Well, there's no doubt in that. Let me read it to you again. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape for the mountain. Lest thou be consumed. Oh, friend. And I say it again, there is a mountain. I would not suggest, please, I would not suggest that there in the 19th chapter of Genesis, God is pointing on to Calvary. But he is pointing on to something. He's pointing on to the past. That he is willing to be merciful. He is willing to be gracious. He is willing to be loving. He is willing to be kind. He's pointing on to the fact that there is mercy with the Lord, that he might be healed. O thou center of all time and space, thou throne of God, thou fount of grace, thou meeting place with earth and heaven, thou lightning rod, me God's love given. Thou altar where Christ died for me, my soul salute me. Calvary. Calvary. Friend.
come by faith to Calvary. The wrath of God will not fall upon that place again,
for God will not quite demand, once put my bleeding sword in hand and let it hide.
I'll come to Christ. I will find faithful protection.
May I borrow, please, one of Mr. Moody's stories that all of you have heard, I'm sure. Mr. Moody, in one of his great sermons, told of an occasion away in Canada in the autumn of the year, when the harvest had been gathered in, the work completed, that they gathered in a home way in the back of the prairie, a crowd of friends and their wives, farmers from the district. The men were going hunting. The women, well, with their children enjoying company one with another, the loneliness of the past month passed. But suddenly, as these men went out to hunt, they looked, and they saw, sweeping towards them at 40 miles an hour, a prairie fire. I've never seen a prairie fire. I've seen a forest fire. I was away in the Blue Mountains in Australia when they caught the light. And I tell you, I don't know if I'd ever been more frightened than I was then. But I've never seen a prairie fire. I only know this, that those farmers gazed at that prairie fire sweeping towards them at 40 miles an hour, knowing that their horses could not run far enough or fast enough to keep out of it. So they knew what to do. They jumped on their horses' backs. They covered their horses' heads with sacks. And then they themselves went ahead and set the prairie alight. And the wind that brought a fire towards them at 40 miles an hour, it took the fire away from them eventually at that speed. When the ground, the prairie that they had burned themselves, had cooled, they led their horses onto the ground that was burnt, and they stood and waited. The fire swept down upon them. No chance for any of them to live. Suddenly, as the fire came to the ground that they had burned, there was nothing else to burn. And the fire went out. Those farmers standing on ground that was burned already praised God. Were praised. Will you come with me to that mountain where the fire of God's wrath dealt with pain as it dealt with Jesus Christ, he who took my sin in his own body to the grave? There I say, the fire of the wrath of God will never fall there again. There's nothing else to burn. Hallelujah, there's nothing else to burn. There's safety at the cross. My friend, won't you come to that place of safety tonight? The Lord said, as in the days of Noah, oh, but we might find safety by trusting Jesus Christ for his name's sake. Amen. I wonder if in closing, please, we could sing together.
number 148. 148.
We sang it one evening during the week. I felt that God was speaking to some harm as we sang it.
I would like you to sing it tonight.
No, it's not 148.
Let me see.
What number was it, sir? 158. I say, isn't it awful when you can't read your own figures? 158.